words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today.
Oh, sinner, bow down with the load of sin. Come to the cross, come to the cross. In Christ is redemption, new life within. Come and be justified, 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 justified wholly through Christ. The cross is the fountain for every need. Come and be justified.
With our Bibles open to the book of 1 Corinthians, we want to begin today in chapter number 2. And we have just finished chapter number 1, and we left off reading verse 31, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Paul has just finished his first entreaty toward the saints concerning Christ and his cross. He begins chapter 2 with a further entreaty all the way down through the end of the chapter, and he points the saints to God and his glory. Paul is continuing what he started in the first chapter, and he reminds the saints of how he came proclaiming the testimony of God. If you recall the things we should remember concerning the cross, and we should recognize concerning the cross, involve the power of God and the wisdom of God, yea, the very Christ of God. And so Paul, in verses 1 through 8, continues the preaching of the cross and keeps it before the people of God. But this time, he earnestly presses the need for unity among the saints in the light of God and his glory. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Father, I come now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the precious Son of God. Thank you for these that listen. Thank you for the truth before us now. Bring it home to our hearts. Change our lives for your glory. Help us to live for your pleasure and purpose in these days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Recall from our studies in 1 Corinthians concerning those who belong to God, who have been placed in Christ Jesus. They have gained eternal life through the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. We have been made partakers of the divine nature of God as we received Christ. He has now made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and our glory should be in the Lord. He is the salvation of our souls, and He serves to start our walk with God. Christ is the sanctification of our souls, and He serves to separate us out to walk with God. He is the security of our soul, and serves to strengthen our walk with God. He is the very satisfaction of our souls, and He sweetens our walk with the Lord. He is the stability of our souls, and He serves as our Lord and Savior to steady our walk with God. Truly, Christ Jesus our Lord is all we need. Yea, He is all we have, and He is all we want. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. 1 Peter 2, verse number 7. Now Paul, with these truths in his mind, in his heart, having placed them before the saints, continues the discussion concerning unity. Here, he presses the Corinthian believers. He pointed them to the Father in verse number 1, the testimony of God, to the Son in verse number 2, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and then five different verses, verse 4, 10, 11, 12, and 14, we find the Holy Spirit of God, the Trinity. I say God and His glory is in the heart and mind of the apostle as he points the Christians in Corinth to the testimony of God. Now, verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, when I came to you." So Paul is looking back when he came to the Corinthians. And he says, "And I, brethren." Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, is writing to brethren, those who were both saved and sanctified. You recall 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. Them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The term brethren means those who were from the same spiritual womb. God has set apart these saints in Christ Jesus for Himself, and through Christ Jesus they have been made holy. God, through Paul, brings them to see themselves as brethren. But Paul says, "When I came to you," he is referring to the time when God had worked among them with the preaching of the gospel. He said He came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto them the testimony of God. So in this further entreaty concerning God and His glory, Paul writes to end the open strife in the local church, to call them back to unity, and the first thought concerning God and His glory is the testimony of God. What is the testimony of God? It is that witness, that testimony from God the Father concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, it is the gospel of Christ crucified for the sins of men, and risen again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul's declaration included compassion. And I, brethren, when I came to you, he came declaring the testimony of God. With love, with compassion, he came, preaching the gospel of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection according to the Scriptures. We find this further explained and detailed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The historical record of Paul's coming to Corinth is found in the book of Acts chapter 18. There you will learn that Paul was sincere and straightforward with his ministry and his message in Corinth. The testimony of God concerning Christ Jesus was opposed by many, but it was also received by many. God formed a congregation of saints, gathered them around Paul, and he taught them the word of God for 18 months. Paul, not only was he sincere, straightforward, but he was steadfast in Corinth, willing to suffer while ministering there. But Paul, like you and like me, was just a man, and he had much fear built up on the inside, but he was strengthened and he was assured by the Lord. And so we come to verse number 2. And here Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." So Paul's coming to Corinth, his declaration was to preach Christ crucified. In weakness and in fear and in much trembling he came, being a man of frail humanity. But when the frail humanity of Paul was yielded to the mighty power of God, God used him to declare the gospel of Christ to a heathen city, and a local church was formed and birthed by the power of God. There is the declaration of God's truth in the demonstration of God's Spirit, and souls are born again and brought into the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.